This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Monkeypox, COVID, rent prices rising, and a whole lot of other things that are not going to make you happy. I think that's why so many people in my world, super smart people, interesting people from all walks of life have told me recently, in fact, in an unofficial poll of friends of Kate, they're not watching the first 15 minutes of the news. They're listening to radio like this, and they love their radio talk show hosts on local radio stations, but they're not listening to or watching the first part of their local news because they don't want to hear what awful things are going to happen, right, or what is happening. So I'm going to work in a few positive things, especially when we hit the mailbag, because we've got some really funny things happening in the mailbag this time around. I think all of us are weary of just what is now going to be soon at the start of the summer. Kids are getting out of school. We've got a big Memorial Day weekend coming up, and it's going to be expensive if you're driving places to go visit and take a vacation. Gasoline is predicted to go up to, in some places, $6 a gallon. I've never seen $6 a gallon, except for in another country. I've never seen that in my lifetime, $6 a gallon. And probably you haven't, unless you've lived in California and you get super, super premium. Will this push people toward going electric? I mean, that's all you see, so many ads for charging and how to charge a car and, you know, dispelling the myths of what it's about and seeing them pop up from rural areas to suburban areas to big cities, that there are plenty of places to charge. Just hope that the grid doesn't go down because of the possible blackouts this summer, because of heat, extreme weather, and the grid that's going to fail in some places. Look out, Texas. We've already seen that act during a horrible snow and ice storm, and that could be a preview for the rest of the country. And it's a terrible thing when that happens, because what becomes a big crisis is this, is that you have people who then, especially older people, who are at risk of dying because of the heat, right? And if over half of the U.S. population is going to see temperatures that are going to be 90 degrees and above, like this weekend, and it's only, May 20-something, as you get through the weekend, I don't know, look out, right? Look out. So in the meantime, while all of those things, the R word, recession, shelves are bare with certain items you might normally get because of supply chain woes, and the list is long of what ails us. But in the meantime, to me, people seem as though we're getting back to where we were. I'm noticing super friendly people everywhere I go. And is it just me? I don't think it's just me. When I'm walking the dog, when I'm tooling around doing errands, whatever it is, people want to have interaction. They want to have conversation. They even want to talk about COVID for 2 seconds. Oh, I had it. Ooh, somebody said that to me today. I had it, and I still haven't gotten my my sense of taste back, so I don't eat quite as much, which the woman remarked to me in one way. It's a good thing, because I lost weight, is what she said to me. I feel that people want to connect more. So what do we do to lift that up, right? But at the same time, you got to chase it with a little realism, and the situation is we have more COVID on the rise. Not as many deaths, but people are getting it. They're getting this variant, the sub-variant of COVID-19. Are there going to be more variants? The answer is a lot of scientists say yes. Will you get a booster? Did you get sick from a booster? Did you not even get vaccinated and you're fine? And we got a lot of that happening. And then while we're dealing with that unfolding, you have the sadness of these senseless acts of violence. The people that were in a Buffalo supermarket on a Saturday afternoon. It's like one of my favorite days of the week. You're running around. You're getting ready for a barbecue. You're going to hang out with people. Or you're just trying to earn some extra bucks. I see the kids at the grocery store bagging, doing other things. Or you're a lifer, and this is what you do for a living. And instead, they don't come out of the supermarket because an 18-year-old who is filled with hate and twisted thoughts specifically targets it, that store, and just at that moment. So he was indicted by a grand jury on Wednesday after leaving a trail of dead bodies. And then the question becomes, he wanted it to be out in the world live. And he used a platform called Discord. And he sent out an invitation to 15 people or so to view his chat logs. 30 minutes, it now comes out, before the violence erupted. So people were invited to join. But what did they see? What did they say? Well, all of that's going to be out there because that data is being collected right now. So at this point, he pled not guilty to a charge of first-degree murder, and other charges are expected. The charge of first-degree murder covers two or more murders in Buffalo. So after the indictment, it was just a brief court appearance. He was ordered to remain held without bond or bail until further action from a grand jury. Shackled. Flanked by officers because would you think that somebody would want to see this kid go down? Packed courtroom. Someone in the courtroom yelling out, "You're a coward." Drives 200 plus miles away to kill 10 people, wound 3 others. And still people are in shock and talking about this and talking about red flags and talking about social media. But we've been talking about that for a while. Digging and digging and digging into these sites. And the red flag law, which is called the Extreme Risk Protection Order law, is designed to prevent anyone who shows signs of being a threat to themselves or others from purchasing a firearm. But he wasn't that, he didn't have that. He didn't have a red flag order. He legally had weapons. He legally could get weapons. So much more about the hatred and ultimately the lives of those people, the victims. Headed to the mailbag next.
No matter if supply lines are down, product deliveries are slow, and that most everything costs more these days, you still have neck and shoulder pain, right? Good news. Sunny Bay has new products that target neck and shoulder pain. Products that are in stock now, ready to ship anywhere now. Like our extra long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs. You can heat them in a microwave oven, and they come in a variety of colors and patterns. And for stress relief, get our lavender scented hands-free neck wraps. Or maybe you you need one of our smaller, lower back wraps. Great for seniors. Again, there's no shipping delays from Sunny Bay. Find our new products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Just search for Sunny Bay Neck Wraps. All our products are great for men or women, are reusable, and easy to clean. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay Neck Wraps. Order now because stock is high and shipping is fast. From Sunny Bay.
Here's a question for you. Why is it that some people aren't as stressed out about the future as you'd think they'd be? Answer? They're probably among the millions of Americans who have prepared themselves with emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. If the worst ever happens, literally millions of American families are already protected from dealing with empty store shelves. Is yours? If not, go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now and grab some emergency food kits, at least one for each member of your family. These kits give you a wide variety of delicious meals that average over 2,000 calories per day. Everything stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. Order your kits now by going to MyPatriotSupply.com. Your order will ship fast and arrive discreetly in unmarked boxes. Listen, this is something you need to jump on now, before the next news headline stuns the world. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
My name is Milan Vukovic. 10 years ago, I got frustrated with the quality of Pau D'Arco tea sold in the stores. So, I founded the Pau D'Arco Tea Club that now ships our super tea to over 100 countries. You too can order or get info about the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea at www.drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. Why settle for less when you can order original pure Pau D'Arco and drink super tea for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping? Each pound makes 300 cups, which is the equivalent of 12 cents per cup for the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea. Order now at www.drinksupertea.com. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113.
You have mail, mistress.
What? Dig in the mailbag.
With so much virtual mail, let's jump right on it. Ben says, hidey-ho, Katie. I am thrilled that you have decided to find a place in my home state. There is so much to do in Florida, and you're the last one we're letting in because I think you might have said it jokingly, it's going to sink if more people come to Florida. And we're very friendly. We're a friendly bunch here. But there's only so many people that we can allow to come into the great state of Florida, as you would say. Yeah, it is a great state. I've spent a lot of time in Florida in my life. It's interesting because besides Ben, I got this one from Ralph, who says, Kate, you got to beware of the sun. It's not like living in Texas. Every day you should make sure you put on sunscreen and lather it on and keep reapplying it, or you could end up with melanoma or something else as a result of too much exposure to the sun. I'm just looking out for you, gal. Ralph, I can totally relate because when I was in college, we took a road trip to, of course, you know, you have 2 cents in your pocket and you pool all your money together and jump into a car. Why not? And you do have a place to stay, and somebody's aunt, somebody, whoever had a place, and you drive down, and then you do with your pasty self get out there in the sun and not realize, oh, it's a mild day, and get the worst burn you can ever imagine. I was like Hellboy. Only hell girl. That's how my skin looked. It was awful. It was the worst. I learned my lesson. I just had to soak in vinegar. I never, ever did that again. So, Ralph, I will heed your warning. I know exactly what a bad burn feels like. And, yes, you're right. Of course, it can be dangerous. So then we go to, see, I'm doing some light things here. I said I would because so many of you, I think, are also trying to do some light things in a world of heavy, heavy, heavy. I got this from Joey, who says, hey, Kate, have you been paying attention? I think you have, because when you do the man cave, I listen for some of the NBA chatter. And have you been paying attention to what's happening with your Dallas Mavericks? They smashed the Suns, and that was shocking, I have to say. And then they got to come up and a reality check when they went to Oakland, because it's a much different kind of basketball when you have Steph Curry on the floor. Are you trying to say that they really got a little beat up on the boards? Yeah, I think so. The final score is like 112-87, and Luka Doncic even 20 points, and they needed much more out of him because they rely on him so much. And of course, Steph Curry, he's always the general, and when he had to come up with the numbers, he came up with the numbers, and it was the second half that was so big. You know, it's, I always say, if you say, oh, basketball's too, I don't like watching basketball. Well, playoff basketball is different, and then the second half of the game is always different. Tune in then. Because if it's a super blowout before that, sometimes that turns around. And the Warriors just broke it open in the second half of the game. And, the Warriors weren't having that on their home court. So now they have a one-game edge over the Mavericks, and now they got the second game that's coming up on Friday. And, the Mavericks are in territory they haven't been in a very long time. And while the Warriors have had to overcome losses of players and some of the gaps in between, listen, they still have some really talented players around Steph Curry. And they quietly went about their business during the year, and this is going to be a tough one for them, no question about it. All right, then I'm going to take one more light one, because I went through and found a bunch of them. And Sam asked me this. Kate, you are now in that Tampa Bay, St. Pete area. What are people saying about Tom Brady? Is he as big of a superstar there as he was in New England, and do you think he'll play more than one more season with the Bucks? Let me look at my crystal ball. What does Giselle say? Oh, Tommy, do you have to play any more football? They're crazy about him, of course. People even have signs on their lawn, welcome back Tommy and Tom and Brady's, you know, Brady's numbers all over the place, besides the Bolts, because Tampa Bay has a two-game edge, and they've won back-to-back Stanley Cups. They have a two-game edge over the Florida Panthers, so you see a lot of banners that say Bolts on the outside of houses and whatnot. But no, the Bucks are huge because of Brady, and coming back was big for Tampa Bay and its fans, because let's face it, they win a Super Bowl and then they're contending for one the next year, and now he's back again, and it's a hot ticket, as you would expect it is. And in fact, I think the conversation is how long will he play? Will it just be this next year, or will it be more than that, and will he break records and continue to play and play and play for another couple of years? I don't know. If you're Tom Brady, what else do you have to prove? But I don't think it's about proving anything. I think it's more about, because he did that when he left the Patriots and came to Tampa Bay. I think it's more about him wanting to keep doing what he does. I mean, let's face it, you're playing a game that you played as a kid where people didn't have that expectation for you that you would be the Hall of Fame player you are. Maybe they saw greatness in you, but he was not heavily touted, as we all know the story. He wasn't picked high in the draft at all. But that's ancient history. I think at this point, you know, is he the greatest of all time just based on statistics and amount of Super Bowl wins? So there isn't the proving thing. I think it's the I've done this my whole life. This is what I know, and I love it. And I love it. I don't care. It's work, and it is a lot, and it's all the prep and everything else and new players to get used to and now a new coach and all of that. I think it is about just loving it. He loves to play, and you can see that, and he's very competitive, but tough to step away from something you're crazy wild about when you can have your cake and eat it too, because while he's missing some family things, he certainly is getting some decent time with his family, especially in the off season, but even during the regular season, depending on where they are. All right, Scott says this. I am Team Ukraine. I think it's wonderful that the president, I guess, will sign what the Senate approved, $40 billion more in military and humanitarian aid. You see the faces of those people. You saw what happened in that maternity ward, and it just is heartbreaking. So the fact that they need help, and they're getting help from not just our country but other countries, is tremendous. It's pulling people together, because I think a lot of people, not just in the United States, but in France and the UK and Australia and so many other parts of the world, want to do what they can to help these people. And what can you do? They need humanitarian aid, and so you get the big check from the government, and then you get the little check from the people. Whatever it takes to see that they've got food and are not directionless, because that has to be the hardest thing. Imagine being displaced. I mean, of course, we can't imagine it. All of us might have been displaced at some point in our lives, but not because missiles were ripping through the center of where we lived. And then we're trying to make our way with just the stuff on our back to freedom away from our home country, though, because it's not safe. It's very tough. Very, very, very tough. All right, you know what I say it all the time, 24/7, kate@katedelaneyradio.com. Email us anytime.
Them enough to turn off your music and pretend like their music is your music.
Ah, this is mommy's jam.
Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're in the right car seat.
Let's play it again.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ag Council.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg. The Pentagon is sending Ukraine a $100 billion weapons shipment. Spokesman John Kirby saying the shipment includes howitzers, artillery components, and tactical vehicles. The United States has sent Ukraine roughly $4 billion worth of arms and equipment since the start of Russia's invasion in late February. Oklahoma's legislature passed a near-total ban on abortion, deputizing enforcement of the law to private citizens. If signed by the governor, the legislation would be the toughest in the nation, making Oklahoma the only state to currently ban abortion at any stage of pregnancy. An Oakland, Michigan County judge is ruling that Oxford High School shooting suspect Ethan Crumbley will remain in an Oakland County jail. Crumbley's trial is tentatively set for September 6th. This is USA Radio News. Congress is attempting to pass a bill expanding the Federal Trade Commission's ability to penalize oil companies for price gouging as the average price for a gallon of gas hits a new record across the nation. Senate Minority Leader from Kentucky, Mitch McConnell, says it's not price gouging, but Democratic policies responsible for energy inflation.
The House is wasting its time pretending that inflation is all the fault of evil corporate profiteers. Evil corporate profiteers. I guess the profit motive hadn't been invented yet in 2019.
McConnell says the Biden administration should lease more land for drilling. Weekly jobless claims are up. The Labor Department reporting first-time claims for unemployment benefits rose to 218,000 last week. That's 21,000 more than the previous week's revised total and more than most analysts were expecting. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Author's Corner, we go to Walter Hodge, who is in our virtual green room. And I'll tell you what, he's written a book that makes me just want to hang out with him for like a week because it's, first of all, beautiful where he is. But what he's written is incredible. And it's Easter, McEaster Valley is the name of the book. And Walter, thanks so much for coming on.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Let's talk about why you wrote this book. What was it that, you know, 5 kids, beautiful area, what was it that inspired you to write the book?
Well, what inspired me to write the book is my wife passed away from cancer, and I had a friend of mine who had his wife also passed away. He said, Rich, he said, you know, he said, when your wife passes, you're going to have things happen to your mind that you won't believe would happen. And I was kind of going along. You have all these thoughts, and I won't say out-of-body experiences, but they definitely were, you may almost call them spiritual, because your mind just goes through all these things in your life. And one day I kind of felt like, Forrest Gump, when he had a lot of things on his mind, and one day he just started running. They asked him why. He didn't know. He started. And I just sat down and started writing this book. I had all these thoughts about things that were important to me, how wonderful of a life I'd had. I used to sit down with my kids, lay down with my kids at night trying to get them to go to sleep, and I would tell them stories about McEaster Valley. And I'd start out saying, long, long, long time ago in a far, far, far away land, and I was hopeful they'd fall asleep, but they wouldn't. It seemed like when I was telling stories that the ones they liked the best were about McEachter Valley. And so I would make up these stories. But really, I think what I was doing was really talking about how fortunate I have been in my life, being able to sink roots in my own practice for over 40, almost 50 years now, knowing clients for years, just having a wonderful life of enjoying animals. And also I had a loving family that I enjoyed. I've just been really grateful for what has gone through my life. And I think that I just started writing, and I put it together on 8.5 by 11 paper, and I sent it to my kids for Easter, and I don't think anybody read it. They might have read it. I don't know. But anyway, I remarried, and my wife and her mother were riding in a car with me, and we're driving actually on Memorial Day, and they read that. And her mother said, you need to write this book. And she hounded me and hounded me, and so finally I got down and did write the book. And I guess I'm thankful for her that I did. It's been a great experience trying to learn how to write a book. I've written papers before of scientific area, but not this type of a book. And I just let my imagination flow, and it was, like you said, I really think I was really writing about my life and how happy I've been.
You know, and it's interesting because when you and I talked about your childhood, I love this childhood. You grew up just understanding, appreciating animals, frogs. I mean, and it was your mother who instilled that love, I think, of the land in you and appreciating nature. Am I right about that?
Yes, my mother, she was actually raised on a ranch in a place called Pingree, Idaho, and right across the Snake River, right by the Snake River, and right across the Snake River was the Indian Reservation. And Mom used to always tell me all these stories about, you know, taking care of the cattle and all these type of things. And as I was growing up, I got to go stay at her ranch with her brother, Uncle Bud was his name. And he taught me how to milk cows by hand, and we went out and went fishing. And I spent a lot of time in the Blue Hole, and I had a creek that went into the Blue Hole where I went fishing, and just had wonderful experiences. I know when I was a young child, I used to go out on the ditch bank and catch fish and frogs. I had very bad allergies at that time, and my eyes would swell up, and I would go in the house and take a washcloth with cool water and put it on my eyes until they got open again, and I'd go right back out again. And one thing that really influenced me, I think, and got me really thinking about it, was one day my mom and dad, when they built their home, they actually had to dig dirt out from the side of the house, away from the house to for the foundation. And when we irrigated, that would always fill up with water. And one time I found these two little, they call them mud puppies, and they're little salamanders that they never mature on land, but they always live in the water. And these little mud dogs just fascinated me, that they had gills, yet they had 4 feet, and they were like frogs, but they never developed into mature frogs. Just, they stayed kind of like tadpoles. And I actually had a little zoo. I raised, had a pig named Miss World Charm the Fourth that, she is part of my, 4-H FFA project. She raised a little piglet for me. I had a cow that we took on the range with my Uncle Bud and, every summer, and she'd come back with a calf. And so I had just a lot of those experiences. I always wanted to be involved with animals. So I'd go down the river bottoms, and we'd go down there and just enjoy it. And so fortunately, I was able to go into a career, which was just basically just who I am. I just really enjoyed that. And so, yes, but my mother, she was the one. She had a happy, smiley face all the time, and she, I think, gave some of that to me.
Yeah, so you go into a career you really wanted, becoming a vet, and a vet who didn't want to take vacations. Didn't they have to force you to take vacations?
Well, yeah, I think I mentioned to you, when I first started working, I was just, it was so exciting to see things that I'd learned in school and actually in practice. I'd see something and kind of discover it and say, man, that's pretty cool. I just was having so much fun that I didn't really want to not be there. And finally the boss said, you know, you've got to take some vacation time. You need to get away from here. So I said, I just really, you know, this is a holiday every day. But anyway, I've always enjoyed, you know, we all have downs and ups, and we have situations that are of a concern, but it seems like every day when I leave from work, I've had a good day and I've been able to feel like I've at least had a little bit of positive influence maybe on some of my clients I've known for years.
So it's interesting, Walter. I was thinking about this before we jumped into this interview. How many animals do you think as a veterinarian you treated, helped, et cetera, you know, I'm going to call them, they were your patients. How many animals do you think?
Well, I don't know. I've had all different kinds of animals. I had a wallaby once, and I guess I can tell you about that. A client of mine, she got this wallaby from Nevada, which was illegal to have in California. And she came in one day, and she had dogs I took care of. And she said, I want you to help me take care of my wallaby I got. And she gave me a book. And I said, okay, that sounds like fun. And we took care of the wallaby. And one day she came in and she says, Dr. Hodge, she says, you've got to put Chico down. I said, why would you do that? I said, well, he attacked my husband the other day, and he kind of went into the parts of his body like he was more in love with me than maybe my husband was. And so she brought Chico in, and we neutered Chico, and he stayed at the clinic for a while. And eventually I got involved with an FFA group where he stayed there for a while, and then he was retired up in Northern California. But 2 years later, the client came in and she said, he's Dr. Hodge. She said, I think we neutered the wrong one. I just divorced my husband. So, anyway, you know, I have things like that have happened over the years. I mean, I've had wild animals brought in. I had one of my technicians had a goat that was plugged up and couldn't do some things needed to. We did surgery on in the clinic and things like this. And so wild pigs have come in that have been injured and a few things like that. We used to be able to do that. So those are we've had a lot of that go on as well as just regular veterinary medicine.
Yeah. So when people read your book, Easter, McEaster Valley, what do you hope they take away from it?
Well, I think that I tried to show what my feelings were for the best of people and the best of life and doing things for the best of causes. And I think doing that and respecting the environment because it provides for us. And there's so many things we can do without damaging it. I think that's really the basic theme of it. And also, I put some things in there trying to influence children and maybe people that read it to look into things, things on the earth like, what's like radium and things like, I have things about chickens and a few things like that. But there's so many different things that you can I tried to stimulate them to maybe pursue those things and kind of learn more about them.
That's so smart. And you do learn when you go through your book, you do learn. I love the illustrations. Who did the illustrations?
I don't remember who did the illustrations, but I had that done for me. I had a lot of influence in it. What they would do is they'd do drawings. I'd say, well, in my mind, I really picture this a little bit differently. Like, for example, is a great big banana slug in the trail. And I had that in my mind. We had to talk about that a little bit. And there's some big prints in the book that didn't look like prints I wanted them to look like of an animal and things like that. But their illustrations really, I think, brought out to me what I was trying to talk about and write about.
Yeah, and that's perfect. Did you have fun writing it?
I really did. I mean, I got onto it and... like you say, it was written really fairly fast because I had all these things flowing through my mind. And so that was a fairly fast structure. The long structure was trying to, really get it published, and written. That was a real learning experience for me.
Oh, yeah, that's for anybody who does a book for all the people listening they know. Well, congratulations on that because we've talked about that before. Easter, McEaster Valley is fabulous. Walter, thank you so much for coming on. Walter Hodge, you can get his book right there on Amazon.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate your bubbliness and ease of being able to visit with. Thank you. You have a great day in your neighborhood. I'm going to have in mine.
Thank you.
Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm about to give you a URL that can and will change your life. You will simply investigate it and look into it for your own self. Do your own research. This is an absolute 360 win for GCN, for American Tax Solutions, and for you. Ladies and gentlemen, these are top tax lawyers that will deliver you super service very, very quickly and change your life. The average person can save up to 90% on their taxes. Visit GCNTaxCut.com. That's GCNTaxCut.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
I am very excited about this game-changing book, seriously. We are going to Australia for a conversation with Kim Wassily. Her book, Children's Drawings Interpreted, How to Understand Children Through Handwriting, Drawing, Doodles, Shapes, and Lines. Oh, my, oh, my. I wish that she was around when I was a kid because I have no idea what the interpretation would be. But I could imagine the things that you could find out, and that's the brilliance of this. Imagine if you had a better roadmap all the way around. Kim, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you, Kate. Lovely to be here.
So what was the road to you writing this book?
Well, Kate, I actually first was exposed to handwriting analysis at the age of 12 myself, and then became a handwriting expert working within the court system for police, legal, corporate, and gradually transitioned into helping children because there was such a need there. And this is where drawings became more important because, of course, children still learning to get their words and their sentence structure. So they don't talk very much, but they all draw. And this was where the fascination developed for me, that we actually all drawn to particular shapes. And this is, it's actual psychological study, the study of shapes and why are we drawn to them. So looking at the symbolism in handwriting and then taking that same symbolism and applying it to drawings was really just for me, it was a natural progression.
Wow, so you put this book together, and then you have to kind of pare it down. What do I put in? What don't I put down? You've had lots of success with lots of people in your life going down this path, which is tremendous. You've helped so many children who now have gone on to become very successful adults in whatever field that they're in. So you have to be very thrilled about that. But how do you pull it in? How do you decide what stories get in? And tell us some of those stories.
Well, I look at the different components of a picture. There are just so many stories. I've given quite a few in the book, but you can imagine there's many more. And I really try to show you in the story what those different components are, the house, the tree, and then the family. So, for example, I had a woman come and see me with three children. She'd recently got divorced, and she said to me, "I'm actually terrified of my four-year-old." She was really scared of her four-year-old. An adorable-looking little child, but an absolute little hell on wheels. And she was unable to control this child. And what had happened with after the divorce, the child had just refused to listen to her with anything. Tantruming all the time, being deceitful, stealing things. And one look at the drawing, well, the little girl had drawn herself bigger than all the other family members. She placed herself above the other family members. She used an incredibly strong pressure, which is anger, and a lot of angles in her drawing. So the combination of all those four things showed that there was a real problem with control with this little girl. So Mum had to actually show her that she wasn't able to assume the dad's role. No, Mum was the one in charge. And so that's where we're able to help the little girl to actually have boundaries, have structure, and really just, you know, resort back to being a child as opposed to trying to be the new controller in the family.
Wow. So what a difference that must have made in the lives of that whole family.
Absolutely. If that little girl, if they hadn't brought her to me at that time or sent her drawings to me, who knows, she could have really, you know, had a life of crime by now.
Wow. And you know, I said it in the title, so we'll say it again. Children's Drawings Interpreted, How to Understand Children Through Handwriting, Drawing, Doodles, Shapes, and Lines. And you talked about the significance of shapes. So give us a little taste of that. And, of course, everyone's going to have to buy the book to get the real meat and the incredibleness of this and the significance of it. But I like the idea that we're telling them a few of the secrets. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, thank you, Ray. Yeah, Kate, so children and adults will use shapes sometimes. So this little girl in the book, she used heart shape for her mother and herself. And then for the male entity, she used a star. And we find that also very much in the LGBTIQ community, where they will use shapes instead of actually trying to depict either the male or female form. So there's just so much, as you can see, I'm really passionate about it, and there's so much information in what people do and how much they're governed by the subconscious in what they do. They don't even realize why they're doing it. So by looking at drawings and being able to say, you're a very lateral thinker, for example. You use something different. You don't think like you and I do. You think out of the box. So you're actually choosing a shape to depict a person. So it's fascinating to see how the human mind is involved in even a simple line on a piece of paper.
Was this fun for you to do this, project?
Really fun. Yeah, really fun. Because I've had the drawings, you know, over the years, I've got the stories, but they're all in my head. So to be able to share them and to be able to actually have people, the few people that have looked at the book have said, "Oh no, hang on, I can't put it down. I'm carrying it everywhere with me. It's in the kitchen, then it's in the bathroom." And yeah, and that's a real thrill to sort of see that people are intrigued and so fascinated by what you actually can learn. There's such a wealth of information. And having worked for over 20 years in the field, you just get so much feedback from people as well. And that feedback is really invaluable. And then me realizing, oh, okay, that's, you know, developing. It's a science and it's developing all the time as we actually see, oh yes, both those children had autism, and I'm looking and seeing, okay, both of them drew to adults without two eyes, but only one eye. All sorts of things where it's a constantly evolving field.
That's what I was going to say. It sounds like every day, week, month, year, something new comes up, something different happens, because obviously culture changes. I mean, look what we've gone through if you look at the last couple of years, and if you take it by the decades, and then where children are, because I guess you have to meet the children where they're at, right?
That's it. That's it. What developmental level they're at. You know, they might be four, but they could have the mentality of a two-year-old. You know, I've got a 17-year-old in the book who's autistic and has drawn the family members on the toilet. So now, you know, the mother was mortified when she brought that that drawing to me. Like, excuse me, I'm so sorry, but this is what my child drew. And I was like, perfect. Whatever your child draws, please don't censor it. Bring it to me. And that's quite normal, you know, that when they go through that those different developmental ages, particularly boys, they're fascinated with, you know, farts and poo and all those things. So it's just normal. But of course, if we see that in a 20-year-old, we know there's big problems. It's all relative to the age that the child is at.
But it's wonderful that you said, don't censor it. Just let's see the whole thing. And that's what the book is about. So in this book, that's what you really get. Children's Drawings Interpreted. I mean, those are very easy to remember. Kim Wassily, that's who we are talking to. Of course, she's the author. How to Understand Children Through Handwriting, Drawing, Doodles, Shapes, and Lines. And there's a website, drawingsinterpreted.com, so you can certainly go there. Obviously, the book, you can get it a lot of different places, including Amazon and Barnes & Noble and all those great places as well. What do you ultimately hope people take away from reading your book?
I want to give children everywhere a voice. They don't use words. They use drawings. And I want, there's so many children out there who have become nonverbal. Either they're on the spectrum, perhaps they've become so involved and engrossed with technology that they're no longer communicating. Teenagers, we know, just naturally aren't as communicative. But these really young children that aren't communicating, parents don't know what to do with them. They don't know how to help them. And this is where drawings give those children a voice. So the nonverbal child is a big field in itself. But we have teenagers, and so many people saying, how do I give this child the very best start in life and direct them from a very young age so that they can be happy and successful?
Perfect place to end this. Congratulations on your book, and thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks, Kate. It's been a pleasure.
Feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. Drinksupertea.com.